Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Big game tonight, Celtics Heat game 4, but bigger news when it comes to the intersection of sports and society. Janae Ogumake, Mike Golic Jr. here on Janae and Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Now, when it comes to the big news, the national story regarding the killing of Breonna Taylor, a grand jury indicted one officer on charges of endangering neighbors with reckless gunfire, but no one was charged, you know, regarding the multiple officers involved in the altercation for causing Miss Taylor's death in her Louisville apartment. And I know a lot of people probably are wondering, why are we discussing this? Why, where is this happening? Why does it matter? It matters because a lot of these athletes that have resonated and gone to the streets and to lead protests. And, you know, I'm a member of the WNBA. We're a league that is full of black women. The NBA has been very vocal on social justice. This is a big reason why a lot of these athletes have chosen to return to play and have also got co-signed from other athletes in varieties of sports. This is something that has truly manifested and mattered to so many people, spiritually, physically, emotionally. So now we are getting news regarding the grand jury's determinations. And as you see, you know, Junior, this is something that athletes will continue to speak on. You know, this is a national news story, but more so, we're all humans experiencing this in real time. So seeing what they say on social media and also what they will say with these opportunities to use their platform in games, that will be something to follow.
Yeah, Janae, I think the lines are gone, right? People talk about, like, you know, sports, life, politics, the things that happen in communities and all that, and sports is an escape, which even athletes will tell you at times it can be for everyone involved, but there are some things that just supersede all of that, and what people have seen happen consistently for years now came to such a head over the summer that we decided to do away with the lines. Like, we're talking about this because all of the athletes involved decided that this was something that mattered so much to them that they were going to disrupt sports, disrupt off seasons, and go about bringing light to these situations in a way that they felt necessary and a lot of people feel is necessary right now. You mentioned some of the reaction from around social media to this news. Even now, a name that has been and meant so much to so many people for the last, you know, 6 months, L.A. Clippers forward Montrezl Harrell, the cops that murdered I lived in the Ville for 3 years of my life and it became another home for me, but wow, what's happened? These are charges you actually came up with. Nothing to say. Wow, speechless. Jamal Crawford, the cops that murdered Breonna Taylor, knew this was how it would play out from the moment it happened. They were never worried about justice being served. Donovan Mitchell, I don't have many words right now. All I can say is I'm praying for the city of Louisville right now. And Devontae Harris tweeted, wow, I can't even say I'm surprised by how they ruled the Breonna Taylor case. And that was what our ESPN legal analyst Ryan Smith said earlier with us, Janae, that he was not surprised by the way any of this played out. And that might, as much as first and foremost, Breonna Taylor and having justice and accountability for her killing is the number one priority, but also looking at and seeing the systems that allowed this to happen seems to be the next layer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all saw sort of the writing on the wall with the National Guard being sent and deployed there. And then also, you know, the family choosing to settle before this information really came out. Like, we sort of knew this was coming. And I guess that's the disappointing part. That's the reason why people are still in the streets and people are still going to use this season for meaning. You know, like, we see all these interviews where athletes I've seen, especially in the WNBA, have chosen to speak on only those matters, right? So this is giving you the proper context to why. And, you know, just being a black woman in America, you know, it just really feels it's a tough situation because we want to feel like we're all safe and equally protected. And I know that's deep down, you know, in everyone's hearts, that's what we really truly feel like America is right now. But we're finding out that this is not the case, especially in this instance. And this instance is one name. Breonna Taylor, right? But this instance is not just one person. It's been aggregates. It's been something that has been happening repeatedly over time. I brought up earlier the concept of generational trauma, right? And so that's why you see, you know, situations where the Milwaukee Bucks go on pause after seeing Jacob Blake. It's not just one instance here. It's the summation. And we've seen this in the last few months, just pile and pile on. And now in real time, we're going to see athletes continue to speak because this is something that we've realized, look, we can't stand for it. This is bigger than sports. This is bigger than you and me. This is for all of us. We want to see everyone win. And today it does not feel like that.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Ogumake. And Ryan Smith, our legal analyst, was on with us earlier. And he talked about, again, the number of reasons on why this was not surprising to him.
You know, guys, when I heard this verdict, the sad thing is I wasn't surprised at all. I think what people need to understand, and this is why I think a lot of the discussion needs to be around how we view our laws and whether we change our laws. When you have officers coming into a structure with a warrant, and they are announcing, not announcing, there's reports that many witnesses didn't hear anything. If they're shot at in this particular state, they're going to claim self-defense because they're going to say somebody was attacking us, we're shooting back. And so that could possibly be the basis that the grand jury used to say those officers shouldn't be charged. But the reason this is a problem is everyone has been talking about one thing. We want accountability for Breonna Taylor's death. There are many people out there who are saying we need to have murder charges here. It's a woman sleeping in her bed. They hear something happen. Somebody busts open the door. Her boyfriend does what a lot of people would do, which is react, thinking somebody's coming to attack us and kill us. So he fires, and the result is she is shot and killed. But at the end of the day, because none of the officers are actually held responsible for her death, when you talk about justice, a lot of people are going to look at that and say, there is no justice here. Essentially, you can almost say that this is looked at as it was an accident. We certainly didn't mean to do that. We came in, somebody shot at us, we shot back repeatedly, one officer shooting 10 times, and the result is she died. And that is a very difficult thing for many people to swallow, especially a lot of athletes out there who have been asking for one thing, justice for Breonna Taylor. That's not happening today. What's happening today is one officer is being charged with randomly shooting into apartments, something that nobody should do, but he's not being charged with anything with respect to Breonna Taylor. And that is a difficult pill to swallow on a day like today.
Chinay Ngolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Chinay, as he mentioned and talked about the response that we've seen from so many people to this situation, I think it's a good reminder. Like, we talked so much about how this is not just a black problem. This is not just a problem that minorities in this country should have to be dealing with. Everyone should have to think about it. But it's a reminder. Like, I had to catch myself and check myself today as we're getting ready to talk about this. And I'm sitting here trying to, you know, re-rack all the specifics of this and all the information and what's going on with this, because so much of it is outside of what we do on the day-to-day. And I had to realize, man, like, what a luxury, again, to look at this from the perspective of someone who lives in a community where I don't have to think about these things happening to me. And so there are things that as you go along in life, maybe you lose focus on a little easier, whereas we talk about so many athletes affected by this, athletes that look at Breonna Taylor and say, that person looks like someone I love, someone I know, someone in my household. These are problems that are sitting at the door when I don't have the money I do or the status that I do, and so they need to be addressed. Like, it's a good reminder that examining the systems around all these things, that's the healthiest thing that we can do in any democracy, but especially right now when we see these things aren't working the way that they're supposed to, and Ryan pointing that out I thought was particularly enlightening.
Yeah, and I think big picture here, you know, you wonder why we speak, you wonder why we mobilize. I think we're realizing that our collective power, our collective voice, you and I having these conversations really matter, because by having these conversations, we're meeting in the middle, right? We're bridging the gap. And, you know, the big picture here when it comes to athletes is that athletes for so long have been trying to, you know, work on causes that matter to them, but we've sort of been doing it in isolation. Like, a good example of this is LeBron James doing the I Promise School in his own community. That's a beautiful thing, but even LeBron James with his tremendous platform he has, he understood that he can't do this alone. We need to do this together. And that's the nature of the conversations. It's not about here pointing fingers. It's more so realizing that, hey, through us working together, we can actually create something that is better. And a good example of this when it comes to Breonna Taylor is after all this that has happened the last few months, you know, I said 194 days, a lot of people resonating with her story because she is someone, as you mentioned, that looks like me. And I can see that and I can feel that. And that's why leagues are mobilizing. After all of that, what happened? You know, the Metro Council in Louisville, Kentucky unanimously voted to pass an ordinance called Breonna's Law, right? Banning no-knock search warrants in wake of Breonna Taylor's death. That's what happens when people raise their voices to causes that matter. Again, this is not just for one community. This is for everyone to have equal protection because we learned it through the lens of this experience. And how did we learn it? By really shaking the system and, you know, using our voices for positivity and for power. That is what the beauty is here. Like, there's so much tragedy. There's so much, you know, things around that could sort of make us feel down just a little bit. But the reason why we have these platforms to speak, especially athletes through their play, is most importantly to show that this is what we can move toward if we do it together.
And that's athletes working right now, still only really getting a little bit of the effort, energy, and backing from ownership groups. All of these areas where so much more money, influence, and power lies in this. But you're right. Being able to point to something like that, we've seen a number of teams, players point out, hey, these are ways that you can help change certain local laws. Like, my God, in this country, what we always talk about, go out and vote, a thing that we want everyone to do and encourage everyone to do. And now you've got athletes, and you want to say stick to sports, stop talking about this, who are encouraging people to participate in local government, like one of the most difficult things to mobilize and get people involved in. And you've got young athletes who want to help other young people get involved in that, and anyone views that as a bad thing is kind of patently insane to me.
Yeah, agreed. Cosign, retweet.
Cosign, retweet, and I'm sure we will see much more reaction from around the world of sports as this information starts to pour into locker rooms, inside the bubble, and plenty of other places going along with that. We'll try and switch gears as best we can now as we look forward to, you know, the play that is going to resume in the NBA bubble tonight, the things that are going to go on in the Eastern Conference Finals, and where we sit on the Boston Celtics getting back into this series against the Heat. We'll get to all that next. It's Shane Angle Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Back to the hardwood, and in about 10 minutes, we're going to get to chat with a former NBA star that was the king of defense. Yes, defense, we're all about that. Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And we are reminding you that the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Make sure you tune in tonight as Jimmy Butler and the Heat battle the Celtics. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And speaking of which, Jimmy Butler, I feel like we are poised to see bad boy Jimmy once again because, you know, the motivation is there. The Celtics get a win and we have game four tonight. The Celtics have finally found their juice, which is why I'm super excited about this matchup because now you have one where Jimmy feels like wronged. This is the ultimate chip on the shoulder type of dude. But you also have a Celtics team that's riding high. They finally played well. It seems like they figured it out. They had four guys over 20 points per game. The first time that Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker, and Jason Tatum all scored 20 points in a game. They're feeling good, too. So I feel like this is talk about meeting in the middle. Like, this is going to be fun tonight, right, Junior?
Yeah, and this is, I think, getting us back to the point where we expected. Like, the Celtics in an 0-2 hole took everyone and caught everyone off guard. I understand Heat culture, Jimmy Butler going out here verbally punching everyone in the face, even if he's not doing it physically. And it's been jarring like that all postseason, but I expected the Celtics overall superior roster, more talented roster to go out here and make it competitive. I thought this was going to be Celtics in seven going through the course of this series. Now, seeing them battle back and seeing, like you said, more of what we expected, I'm curious from your standpoint because a lot was also made of the return of Gordon Hayward and the boost that that provided, whether it was, you know, him being a tool to help stop and combat some of the zone defense that they saw from the Heat. How much do you think his presence is worth going forward? Is that a one-game bump, or is this a series-shifting kind of return from him?
It can be a series-shifting kind of return, and I think it's more so, you know, it's hard to jump back in and really be producing. I think it's more so a mental uplift, because these guys have been trying to figure out with so many different ways, like, how are we going to get back on track? And to have their guy there that literally, Gordon Hayward, like, you see him, you want to smile, you're happy he's there, he's overcome a lot, he's one of those guys you root for, so to have him there as a veteran presence, that helps. But when you're also getting the production, like I said, 60 points in the paint by the Celtics. Now, I mentioned before, the Miami Heat, they've been running that zone, and those zones are really effective if you don't have zone busters that can shoot, and also if you don't, like, attack the rim. Zone busters, they shot 59% against the zone, the Celtics did. So they forced them out of it, and more importantly, they attacked the rim and had 60 points in the paint. I don't know how much of the zone Miami Heat's going to employ. So I think when they're shooting that well and when they are that aggressive at the rim, it doesn't matter who's out there. The Celtics are fulfilling their potential.
Shanae Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're reminding you, don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. Chiney, you know what I realized sitting around in the pre-show meeting today? Because I looked at this and we were both looking at this situation and thinking, and I'm curious, do you still think, because going into this series, I thought it was Celtics in seven, and I realized we never actually pinned you down. You have a remarkable ability when we get into these situations talking about outcomes of games to somehow wiggle around and get free of having to nail down any prediction. So did you even say who you thought was going to win this series?
I did, yeah. Don't you remember?
I don't. Was it in the pre-show today?
No, I'm just joking, trying to make it seem like, oh, yeah, I'm playing off, but I guess I have to actually do it. Okay, I think it's Celtics in seven. I like the competitive nature of the series, but I also think the talent, when you think about ceilings and talent, while what the Heat have done really well, like, you know, having so many different players step up, whether it's their shooters or Bam Adebayo, who's putting up some historic numbers when it comes to, like, I think Coach Calipari on, you know, the Turner show said, like, he's a point center. We talk about point forwards, he's a point center. They've been remarkable, the Heat have been. They've really won on competitive fire and just sheer determination. But the Celtics, their ceiling when it comes to their talent and what they're able to tap in and do, to me, is what will cause them to prevail. So I've got a very competitive series of seven, but I've got the Celtics coming out.
It's just like, is this because you don't want to offend Marcus Smart? You feel like he'll like flop okay, if
first
we try
of all,
and get him
can
out
can we
here?
Talk about
like,
something? You learned that about me in the pre-show meeting. I learned that you shame me for my food habits because I eat, you know, lunch and dinner food for breakfast, like Thai food and
whoa,
you were eating ice cream in the pre-show meeting, so I feel like that deserves its day in the sun.
Post-workout, I was trying to help the protein find
that
its
make
way
it
through
even
the
better?
Bloodstream.
Post-workout ice cream.
Oh, yeah, nice that, insulin spike, get the protein to the cells quicker. There's science to back
so
this
you
up.
So you use
tonight.
Ice cream to open your cells to get the protein in.
Listen, it was there, and I had some already, and so I figured
also,
I would
Also, I'm judging
it.
You for like your first choice being strawberry ice cream, but it's okay.
The shame on this one, I thought the most food-related shame I saw today, Chiney, was going to be online watching Dan Orlovsky get shamed by Dominique Foxworth and Ryan Clark for having no seasoning in his life. Did you see this saga unfolding?
I saw it and I read every text of that whole group chat and I'm like, Dan, you don't know what you've been missing, bro.
Yeah, apparently Dan Orlovsky, our great ESPN NFL insider and a great friend of the show, our Uncle Dan, has been living without even the base level. Like, Chiney, when we look at, we talk about seasoning in the world of life and in the world of sports, I would say something like Lowry's is kind of like a base level
yes.
gateway seasoning, right?
Yes.
It's your path to greater season
yes.
in your life. Dan doesn't even have that. He posted a tweet, and God love Dan. I almost want to reach out and help him in this situation of like the saddest little salt and pepper shakers inside a spice drawer in there. I'm not sure what to do with this, Chiney.
There's nothing you can do but just sort of, I mean, let me not say spike his food, but throw some seasoning in his food, and then he'll be like, ooh, that hit different. And then he'll figure it out.
I do like that we're like spiking the punch of Dan Orlovsky's food. Like he's going to look up at some point. And that the subject of, and now, Chiney, are you familiar with the green bottle of Creole seasoning?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Sensational. I would love to be in a place, like maybe in another world, another life, when we're past all the things with the virus, in the ESPN cafeteria, can sprinkle a little bit of that Creole onto Dan's food and just look and watch the joy on his face as he's launched into a Flavortown experience unlike anything he's ever had.
This is our secret mission. We're going to eat food with Dan. He's going to get up and go get something like a drink, and we're going to bring because your girl always carries hot sauce in her bag.
Oh, yeah.
We're just going to put some flavoring in his food and see what happens.
Oh, this is going to be brave. Right on time in the Zoom, by the way, our producer Shannon Penn holding up for the world to see the Creole seasoning there. And listen, if I say that and it doesn't immediately come to mind, I don't even know what brand it is. I just know when I go to the store and I see the green bottle of Creole seasoning, I know exactly what it is. I know I need it in my life. And now I know me and Chiney, our mission, our goal, our duty to this great nation and to this company
is to help Dan find his seasoning. More importantly, producer Shannon found it quick. He's a real one. Like, real ones usually have it within arm's reach.
Oh, I had a moment of self-pride today at home because I went and opened up my pantry when this conversation was going on. And I was like, let me check and make sure. The Lowry's was sitting right next to the Creole seasoning in there. And I realized, all right, my life is seasoned in the ways that it deserves.
So you opened up your pantry and said, like, let me see what I'm working with.
I opened it up and I said, look at God. Won't he do it, Chiney? Making it happen. We're going to covert season Dan Orlovsky's food.
Yes, that's the plan. Don't, hey, America, don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Yet. Don't tell him yet.
No one tag Dan. No one tell him. We're going to make this happen. Sneak seasoning going out here on Chiney Angola Jr. We said Celtics in seven. We will see if a former Celtics champ agrees with us. That's coming up next. It's Chiney Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We are the secret sauce of the ESPN radio lineup. We are the show with real seasoning out here. We are Jhené and Golic Jr., Jhené Ogunwike, Mike Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And I'm so excited that we head straight there. We are so delighted to be joined by NBA champion and six-time all-defensive team member, Tony Allen. And before we even get to the hardwood, Tony, one of our coworkers, I think it was just made clear that he does not have enough seasoning, actual food seasoning in his food, in his life. Have you ever had to educate someone, a teammate maybe, to the wonders of food seasoning?
Yeah, I did that a few times. I got a little chef, boy, ID cooking. I can make up real fast for you guys. I know a lot about seasoning.
There we go. Seasoning expert and NBA champion. That's a hell of a title to throw up on the resume. And Tony, you won an NBA championship with the Boston Celtics. That's a team that's trying to battle back now after being down in a 2-0 hole. What did you see from the Celtics in Game 3 that gave you hope that this is a team that could come back and ultimately win this series?
More importantly, they were playing with Celtic pride, desperation. A lot of guys, you know, paid attention to detail for a full 48-minute game. I thought Marcus Smart making those comments in the locker room, you know, I thought it kind of ramped up their engine, and they came out and they was able to force the series to 2-1. And I think that's what you got to do when you're back against the wall. And I thought all those guys responded well. Hopefully he can do another speech before the game.
Here with Tony Allen, NBA champion and all defensive team member. I think it's six different teams. So impressive on Jhené and Golic Jr. And Tony, I had a feeling it would resonate with Marcus Smart just by his tenacity. But when you look at the Celtics and who they're playing against, the Miami Heat, I feel like you would also resonate with Jimmy Butler. How have you thought of his play so far?
Oh, he's been the alpha male. He's definitely been the key to all his success this year. What I like most importantly about him, right now, while they're in that bubble, he's doing no fraternizing. You know, it's a business trip, and those guys come there focused, and I like that mentality. Kind of remind me of myself when I, you know, go to playoff mode or what have you. But Jimmy Butler is definitely looking to seek and destroy. He got Hero playing lights out. Bam, obviously, he's a first-team all-defender. I just think they play with a lot of, like, rough around the edge, that grit and grind style of basketball, I think, that we played in Memphis, and they definitely fun to watch.
Tony, I'm curious, you mentioned all that grit, tenacity, and we've seen also a lot of strategy over the course of these playoffs. A lot of people have strong opinions and strong feelings on teams playing zone. We saw it from the Lakers last night. We saw it from the Heat in the Celtics series. What are your thoughts on teams going to that as a strategy in these situations?
You know, if I talked in favor of it, I would think Eddie Sutton right now, rest in peace, the great late Eddie Sutton. You know, he always preached for me to get to the NBA, I needed to, you know, focus on my man-to-man defense. And he always told me we'd never go zone while I'd be playing under his program. But I think as I got to the NBA, I thought, like, that defense itself is more laziness. It's a point defense strategy. It doesn't hold guys accountable. And I'm just not a fan of it. But obviously, you know, with the way the analytics are going and the way teams strategize and just throwing some junk in the game, I think it's great. But more importantly for me, I'm not a fan of it.
Here with Tony Allen, who just made it clear that he's not a fan of zone. As another professional basketball player, me neither. We just want to play man-to-man. I feel you on that here on Jhené and Golic Jr. But, you know, thinking about the big picture here, you know, everyone probably sees with the Clippers being out, the Lakers are the favorite. But the Lakers did just take a loss to the Nuggets. What did you make of that outcome? Are you worried about the Lakers? Or are you more so high on the Nuggets and what they've been able to do?
Oh, man. I think the Nuggets have been showing all this year that they are forced to be reckoned with. But more importantly, I think this year, I want to see Anthony Davis continue to do the things that he's done. Just be active. Be the athlete that you are. You know, whether it's pick and roll, you know, moving hard off the pick and roll, going hard for the lob, opening up space for other guys. I think the more he's active, it makes it easier for the other guys. And then, you know, he had a good game last time, but it's like the more he's active, I think it's contagious amongst the team. And then you throw in a guy like Rondo. You know, obviously I played with him in Boston. He's a coach slash player, so he might see some of the things that, you know, you guys are not even looking at, you know, because the guys watching so much film. And I think that veteran experience has helped them tremendously. LeBron is LeBron. King James, we know who he is. But for those guys this year, I think it got to be Anthony Davis, you know, being the MVP. And I think if he continues this, I wouldn't be surprised if he got finals MVP with his motor.
That is true. I'm pretty sure LeBron would be just happy walking off with the ring with AD as finals MVP. Now, Tony, you are...
See, yeah.
Go ahead.
It wouldn't be bad if Bron just got another ring. But more importantly, you know, Anthony Davis, he's from Chicago. So, you know, I want to see that on his resume too. So, but big shout out to both of them because they playing phenomenal.
Absolutely. Before we let you go, you know, you are a defensive expert. I watch you for defense. I'm opposed, so like I can't get as low, but you are just tenacious. You know, watching the game through the lens of defense, is there a player or a team that you're like, this is going to really help them defensively, how they go at it?
Yeah, well, we brought up two of the teams earlier. I'm definitely fans of the Heat and the Celtics. Considering the fact Kawhi and, you know, Paul George, they had an early exit. You know, I was admiring what they did defensively. But if I had to choose, I would have to say a guy like Jimmy Butler and a guy like Marcus Smart. Those guys, you know, dedicate their bodies to the game. You could tell how they fight over the pick and roll. Sometimes they might go over the pick and roll. They might fake the big out thinking they're going to go over the pick and roll. They might go under. You know what I mean? And these type of on-the-draw type decisions you have to make can probably make or break the game. You know what I mean? And I think Marcus Smart do a lot more, I believe, than I did in my era because he takes more charges than anybody. You know what I mean? And he takes them in places where he can easily get hurt, but he does it for the team. And I just think those guys really, if I could say, model my game when I was playing, it'll be those two guys.
You can say that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they can put some respect on it.
I was going to say six-time NBA All-Defensive Team. I think you get to say that.
Hey, I was just being humble, man. You know.
Absolutely. We appreciate that. We appreciate the time, Tony. Thanks so much for joining us, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tony.
First team, baby.
First team, Tony Allen, again, former NBA champion, six-time all-defensive team member. Chanae and Golic Jr. reminding you the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Jimmy Butler and the Heat battle the Celtics, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. By the way, did you see behind him on the video
just
point to the Coliseum picture?
The Coliseum, like, big flex. You know I vibe with his energy. I love it.
He just said, he looked at us, said first team, and then walked away from
it
the camera.
Like, bye. Delete.
What an all-time dismount. We got to get that guy back on every week.
We really need to.
God, everyone just got the cuffs put on him by Tony Allen. We don't even
not
know
even
it
a
right
name.
Now.
First team, baby.
I just bricked a shot into the garbage can in here. All hell is breaking loose. So coming up next, we're going to take the energy that Tony Allen just delivered with the walk-off and try and run it straight to the end of this show. We'll do that. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I know it's a tough day in the world, but we are here to always lift you up. We are Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Chanae Ogwumike, first team when it comes to draft picks. Mike Golic Jr., first team. Capital One Academic All-American. I had to do my research to find that out.
I was going to say, you got to look a lot harder to find my accolades because they were fewer and further between. Let's go. And
yes, we had a great... We had a great first team of guests today. We had Aaron Schatz, Dan Graziano, Ryan Smith dropped some bars, and of course, first team, Tony Allen. That was fun.
It was, man, Tony Allen might be my new favorite guest on the show. Pointing to his own picture behind him for everyone watching on ESPN News of him and what looked like a team at the Roman Coliseum, first team walk-off. We could all only hope to walk into every room with the confidence that Tony Allen walked out of our room in.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't get six-time defensive team like without that type of confidence. But more importantly, he had the vibe. He had the energy we needed today.
He did. I feel like every time he walks down, we were talking during the break, does Tony Allen, can he even go to the grocery store and let someone through the aisle around him? Because you saw he was talking to us getting into a defensive crouch. He can't help it. It's so firmly woven into his DNA to just body up in defense anyone who comes his way.
I need him to teach me his ways. I can be better.
We can all do better. And that's the point of doing all this. That's why we wake up every morning,
yes,
get in front of these mics, and gas bag to try and give you the energy you need. Cliff, we want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy levels was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
And, Janae, I wanted to start this one off before we get back to some news that we learned today about our friend Dan Orlovsky and the ways that we're going to try and help him going forward. Wanted to address something that was actually pretty cool. I saw this clip going around from the Atlanta Falcons the other day after their game against the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, so much of the focus was what happened at the end of the game on the field. But at the end of the game, after all the whistles blew and everyone came together, thought it was really cool. Hayden Hurst, the tight end for the Atlanta Falcons, who just came over from the Baltimore Ravens, jogged over to Dak Prescott and said, "Hey, man, I've got a lot of respect for what you did," and came out and talked about, "Me and my mom have a foundation for suicide prevention. I respect the hell out of you. Keep talking about it, man." That cool moment of reflection, of brotherhood between two guys after Dak Prescott again made news talking about his struggles with mental health after the death of his brother earlier this summer. So thought that was a really good moment between the two of those guys, understanding and supporting one another.
I really just got goosebumps. I saw the video of them hugging, but I didn't know the context behind it. And that's just a beautiful thing.
It is. That is truly the energy we like to see kept out here. Guys lifting up and supporting the things that are near and dear to one another. Now, on a completely different standpoint, did everyone see Bill Belichick today? That man walked into the Patriots press conference today going through it. Like, they're 2-0, and he looks like that. Chanae, I'm always amazed at the ability of coaches to find misery even in success, and Bill Belichick's got it nailed.
So, like, at some point, you have to assume that this is a look, because it's we're used to, like, the cutoffs, like, things that don't look conventional on him. He just goes with the flow. But this one's different. This level with the holes up top, I mean, who cares? He doesn't care. He
no.
still produces.
Oh, listen, as someone who, like, willingly goes out and works out in socks that have multiple holes in them but refuses to change
because
there's
stubborn. A big difference between socks and tops. When you have holes in the tops, it's okay. When you have holes in your socks, that's a whole different vibe.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. They're still good for the most part.
You work out. That's one of those things that bother me so much, having a hole in my sock. Like, I'd rather just take the whole sock off.
Well, now, this is the question. Do you have an article of clothing like Bill Belichick? Because clearly, this is something that he loves. This article, he has worn it. It has been with him through thick and clearly a lot of thin in this, because it's not looking like it's in great shape. Do you have an article of clothing you've held on for too long?
No.
Damn, well, that really took the wind out of my sails there. Chanae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Look, I haven't won a championship, and he's won plenty. So, like, if I did, I probably would.
Well, I didn't know, like, some people hold on to, like, blankets from their childhood. I got a pillow on my bed that has all my birth specs on it, height, weight, all that good stuff on there, gifted by the Philadelphia Eagles.
I was concerned for a moment.
A
I was like, that had what on it? I was concerned for a very
Whoa, yeah. Specs. S-P-E-C-S. Good Lord. Moving on. Lastly,
my goal is to make you sweat with the final 2 minutes we've got here.
Congratulations. We have achieved that. And that's a great place to get to and finish up with our colleague Dan Orlovsky. And I figured this out, Chanae. We found out earlier today, Ryan Clark, Dominique Foxworth published a series of text messages exchanged between them and our colleague and a guy we love in Dan Orlovsky. Basically finding out that Dan Orlovsky has not even entered the Lowry's seasoned salt level of seasoning in his life at this point. And you and I have decided we're going to help him out because we love Dan. This isn't about putting him down for not having seasoned enough in his life yet. It's we want to lift him up into a new plane because we care about him.
Absolutely. Dan, we're here for you. You know, it's funny. A lot of people have these recognitions later on in life. Throw some seasoning on it. Just give it a try.
It doesn't have to be much. It's going to be in the right spots. And again, let Lowry's be the guide that gets you there originally. Before we get to the green canister of Creole sauce that I still don't know that seasoning's actual brand name. And it's not important. Everyone knows it when they see it and they understand that it's a gateway to a better life.
And we have a mission here. We're going to spike his food with seasoning. Not yes. spike, but, you know, we're going to throw some seasoning in there and see what happens. And if he goes, oh, my God, his life has changed.
I just want to see that look of joy on his face. Yes. Right, Janae?
It's like the whole face of shock and surprise.
Wait a minute. Have you guys tasted this food? It's different than other food I've had. It's better than other food I've had. It's seasoned food. We're looking for that moment for Dan Orlovsky.
That's our secret.
Join us on that mission. Keep that secret with us.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.